This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. We got a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Just took over for taking over for the Cables location here. Cables has been here for a million years, I think, and they were a great place. But I'm excited to see what Big City Roadhouse is going to be all about. Benjamin, if you find yourself up here, my friend, my treat. I'll bring you over there. They got burritos, they got steak, they got burgers, they got wings, everything, dude. It'd be on me, I promise.
Well, you said the magic words, my treats. So I'll have 15 steaks, 50,000 burritos. What's that? You've seen that clip where he drives through the drive-thru?
Yes, I have. He orders like everything is like multiple times over and tries to get back in line. Oh, it's great.
500 burritos or whatever. We'll just pay it forward. Yeah, it's fine.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Kind of a shocker yesterday with the Cowboys trading Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers. That's a lot of money, Benjamin. That is a lot of money for this for a non-quarterback, the record deal.
Yeah, and I believe it's more than Jerry paid for the Cowboys back in 1989, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
I'm serious on that.
Yeah.
I didn't think Jerry would trade Micah Parsons. I figured he'd shoot himself in the foot and pay a bunch, extra later right up at the last second. I didn't think he'd trade him. But I underestimated Jerry's ability to cheddar bob himself. In these kinds of situations and shoot himself in both feet, I guess, in this particular situation, trying to create a generational pass rusher and getting an aging defensive tackle and two first-round picks that probably aren't going to be that good. Here we go. The Packers, whose front seven was already good, got way better, and Dallas, who was a borderline competitive team this year, got a bunch of draft picks to be competitive in future years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about getting draft picks. It's all neat and everything, first round picks, but Micah Parsons, that's a sure thing. You know what you're getting from him. First round picks, man, we see it. Some work out, some don't. I'm always a fan of the sure thing if you can make it work.
Well, it's the mystery box phenomenon, right? You're on the game show and they give you a choice between a brand new car and a mystery box. But the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a new car. So, the draft picks could be anything. It could even be another Micah Parsons. So, it's sort of funny. Like the top of the line prize with those draft picks is getting back what you already just gave up.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting to see how this one all plays out. And now Green Bay, I saw you were somebody was going at you on X. I know it's nothing new, Benjamin, but somebody was last night saying something like the Packers aren't a very good team or something. You add Micah Parsons to this mix. The Packers were a playoff team last year. Now you got Parsons. Watch out. That could be a team to look out for in the NFC.
Yeah, the receiving core is very young, and I'm still not 100% sold on their quarterback, Jordan Love. But overall, like the idea that they're not competitive is stupid. I mean, they went to the playoffs. They've been to the playoffs quite a few times with the coaching staff that they've got, and they're a well-coached football team with a lot of talent on it, whatever you think of the receiving core and the quarterback. So, that was weird to me. I'm not really it's fascinating to me. They're not a competitive team. Really? They were in the playoffs.
Right.
That seems competitive to me. I mean, by token, you're dogging the Broncos, saying they weren't a competitive team last year.
Yeah, pretty much in the same boat. Similar schedule or similar records and lost in the first round. Yeah, kind of in the same spot there. So speaking of the Broncos, what is Parsons' deal, Benjamin? Is it like 40? Is it like $47 million a year? Is that what this is?
Yeah, the average is $47 million
wow.
a year. So, for Nick Benito, this kind of helped raise the floor after Trey Hendrickson did not get a long-term deal, and that didn't raise the floor on anything. Now, Nick Benito is not going to get $47 million or anything close to that. He's probably not even going to get north of 40, but he'll get north of 30 now, and that's sort of the thing as the rising market continues to go. What his camp was waiting on, the Broncos sent out an opening offer a while back, and of course it was a low-ball offer because that's how you open negotiations. But the idea was, we'll send this out and we'll get it going. Well, the market's risen, and the idea is that you know, from Benito's camp is wait this thing out, let some of these guys raise the market a little bit, we'll come back, and, you know, instead of the $23 million the Broncos are offering, we'll get closer to $30 million, $32 million, you know, once the market adjusts. And so that's just smart business.
Do you see that kind of playing out, that Benito's camp would be good, you know, seeing Parsons? I don't think we're ready to say Benito is on Parsons' level just yet. He might get there pretty soon, but would that be a comfortable number from Nick Benito's standpoint, looking at like 31, 32?
Yeah, I think that's roughly what he's shooting for. We'll see. We'll see if he takes a little discount off that. My projected range is somewhere between 28 and 32, just depending on, you know, if he takes any kind of discount. But that's what you do. You're negotiating against the franchise tag. So you need guys to come in and raise the top five average, which is what the franchise tag is. You need guys to raise that top five average with new deals, which, you know, Parsons did, Hendrickson didn't. Because that's what you're negotiating with. You're a second-round draft pick. Benito is. There's no fifth-year option for a second-round draft pick. So he's negotiating against the franchise tag, basically. And so that's why that came into play.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Looking at Benito, do you think that he is going to be? I mean, he's good. He's a very good player. There's no question about it. But when you're talking that kind of money, I always go over to the Nuggets conversation, like Michael Porter Jr. Very good player, but when you tag him to the money he was making, it was like, yeah, but he's not living up to that money, and now it's hurting you because you can't go add other pieces because you're paying him too much. Do you see a Benito being more like that guy, like a really good player, maybe doesn't live up to that 30 plus million dollars, or do you think that this guy is going to be one of, if not the best pass rushers here in a year or two?
I think he could be one of those pass rushers. I mean, you're talking about an ascending player. The difference between the NFL and the NBA is the NBA's contracts are fully guaranteed, whereas NFL contracts are not. So you could move off a player pretty quickly versus the NBA's weird trading rules and their fully guaranteed contracts makes it difficult to move off a player you've overpaid. So if that were to be the case, the Broncos would still be able to get out from under it in a season or two tops.
Yeah, and that would be interesting to see how, you know, what the language looks like, assuming that all gets done. Do you think a deal gets done before the? I mean, we're getting close to it, man. We're almost there for game one. Do you think a deal gets done before September 7th?
I don't know. That seems like it's pushing it just a little bit. It's entirely possible, but you're just starting in earnest now. So if you don't get something done, I mean, you've got plenty of time to do it. I think Benito, if you don't get it done by the start of the year, would say, let's table this. Let me see what I'm looking like halfway through the season and then revisit it. That would be my guess on it.
Well, and I guess the gamble on the Broncos side is week one. What if against Tennessee,
yeah,
you know, three sacks, suddenly that number just is going to keep going up a million every week.
Yeah, you know, you do run that risk, but at the end of the day, I mean, you'd rather pay more for somebody who continues to show it, right?
Yeah, that's true. I'm all in. Like, I want to see Benito be a long-term Bronco. He was, you know, Courtland Sutton deal, whatever, Zach Allen deal, good, but Benito was the one, and I think a lot of Broncos fans feel that way. We'll see if they can get it done. 3-0 in the preseason, my friend. You can't win them all if you don't win them all, and they did in the preseason. So how do you assess this team after three preseason games, 49ers, Cardinals, and Saints?
Well, Trent Dilferisms aside, you can't win games by losing. I would say that the preseason, everything matters except the final score, whereas in the regular season, nothing matters but the final score. And so, you know, when you're looking at preseason, I mean, didn't the Bears go 3-0 last year with, like, the biggest point differential, and then they went, you know, whatever they did in the season was, like, 2-14 or whatever it was
so.
In the season. Preseason wins do not matter. There are some coaches that take it seriously, the Harbaughs and Sean Payton and those kind of guys, but it does not matter. What matters is the reps. What matters is, you know, is what happens in the plays, not the final score, whereas in the regular season, none of that matters. It's just the final score. You got to get the W, and that's it. The rest of it doesn't matter. So, you know, I think I don't take much away from it. I think there was individual performances to take things away from. Looking at Tyler Bidet making the roster because he showed out and risked probably RB3 on this roster. To be honest with you, at the end of the day, I'm not sure what Jaleel McLaughlin brings to the table that the other running backs don't already have. He doesn't pass pro. He's a quick burst guy, but lacks long speed. I mean, RJ Harvey is basically Jaleel plus. So I'm not sure Jaleel is around at the end of the year. We'll see. I think Bidet, who pass pros and catches better, Dobbins, who pass pros and catches better, and Harvey, who's more explosive, I think those three have it covered.
What are your major, do you have any, not major, maybe that's too extreme of a word, but week one going up against the Titans or just throughout the season, what is the number one thing that you're kind of looking at going, I'm worried about this group or this position that could, if it doesn't work out, you know, that could be, it could spell a few losses for this team. What is that concern that you have about this team?
Well, it's the same concern I had from OTAs till now, and that was the health of the inside linebacker position. I mean, we got a lot of guys that haven't been healthy in Greenlaw, Singleton, and Sternad. And then it's that left guard and center combination of Ben Powers and Luke Wattenberg on the offense. You know, we've seen them say they're switching to outside zone. We saw them try to run a little bit of that. Ben Powers looked lost trying to do all that. Wattenberg has been the weak link on a very highly paid offensive line outside of him. So, you know, that part of the combination. I mean, Bo gets the ball out quick, and that's helped make this line, I think, look better than it is. You know, similar to the way Peyton Manning used to get the ball out quick, make his line look better than it was. But, you know, I'm worried if we're relying on trying to get the ground game going and that left guard center combination still isn't shorn up. And then, you know, of course, if we get mounting injuries at the inside backer position, that could be a problem as well.
Well, talk to us about that too with Singleton and Greenlaw. You mentioned those guys, and Sean Payton, I saw a quote earlier talking about, you know, kind of putting them on a pitch count type of deal. Just saying we got to be smart with how we handle it. How much playing time do you expect from both of those guys in week one?
Well, I think they'll rotate them through situationally, try to play to their strengths and not put them out there to overextend them as they're both still coming back. Singleton's coming back off the broken thumb, and then, of course, the injury he had last year as well. Greenlaw has had the, you know, soft tissue injury, dinged it up a little in the offseason. So I think you're just going to try to see a rotation there where they just, you know, 25 snaps apiece, you know, with a little bit more maybe going to Sternad or something like that, 10 going to Sternad, that kind of stuff, just to kind of keep them, kind of keep an eye on where they're at and not overextend them as they continue to come all the way back from injuries they've suffered over the last season.
Yeah, fingers crossed they can stay healthy, especially to start this season off. Benjamin, great stuff by you as always. Who do you got tonight, Colorado or Georgia Tech?
Well, my my hosting partner over here, Nick Ferguson, is a Georgia Tech alum.
Oh man!
So
yeah.
You know, I gotta take the other side of that just to antagonize him. You know how the rules go on radio. Like, I may not believe something, but I gotta take it just to antagonize him. So I'm gonna be on the other side of that while I'll be down actually at the Rockies game.
Oh, nice!
As our good buddy Ryan Edwards throwing out the first pitch tonight.
Oh, he is? Seriously? That'll be cool, yeah. Man. Well, wish him good luck from me, my friend.
Will do.
All right, man. We'll have fun tonight, and we'll catch up with you next week, and we'll break into it. Week one, going up against the Tennessee Titans, so I look forward to it, my friend.
Absolutely, brother. Take care.
All right, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country tonight. 31 million? Probably. I mean, Nick Bonitto is not Micah Parsons. He's very good, but you got to be careful, Mike. You go up against Tennessee, he's not very good. Rookie quarterback. Numbers are numbers, though. He comes out of that game with two or three sacks, maybe force a fumble or something. Doesn't that number go up? Like, big time? 31 to 34? Every game that he rocks in, which is what you believe, that's why you're willing to offer him something. Every game that he dominates, that bill's going up.
Sign him now.
Yeah, sign him now. Let's just get it done. They, as Benjamin told us, they did. There is an offer out there, but it's a lowball offer. You never accept the first offer. You always reject that. So what was that number? Probably in the mid to low 20s. I'm guessing. That's just a pure guess. And now you see you got $47 million a year for Micah Parsons. Okay, you're not four. Like, there's no way Nick comes at the Broncos and says that number better start with a four, right? There's no way. 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up hour number one. It is a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. We got a lot coming up, man. Brian Howell's going to join us from Buff Zone. How does he think this Buffs team is going to perform tonight? It's a big game, man. It's huge. Colossal. Epic. We'll talk to Brian. Then we got the picks, Mike. The picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man game. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.